Thanks a million, Shane.
It's the Radar Scene Show on RTE Radio 1.
Oh, that's a lovely intro, guys. Good afternoon. How are you doing? Hope you are well. Catherine Thomas in for Ray all this week. You can keep me company on 51551 with your text or ray@rte.ie for your emails. By the way, has anybody seen Ray Darcy? According to the papers today, he's gone into hiding, put under pressure from the One Direction fans over Dustin interrupting the lovely Niall Horan's comic relief song. Well, lads, I can absolutely assure you the only people Ray is hiding from are his own production team. He's on holidays with Jenny and the kids, switching off, probably listening to a lot of One Direction. Who knows? Also, loved seeing everybody out on their date nights last night. Lots of people posting online, sitting in their local restaurants. Many people tweeting that it was their first time out since Christmas as well, with the glad rags on. So if that was you, what was it like? Did you get out? What did you order? Did the wine taste like nectar? 51551 or ray@rte.ie. And actually, importantly, did you feel comfortable being there? Did it feel different? Were you able to have a conversation with somebody on the next table, or were they a football field away? Let me know. 51551. Also, I'd love to hear from the restaurateurs out there. Very happy but tired restaurateurs and staff, I'd say, today. Just delighted to get out and serve their customers last night. How did it go for you? I will be chatting to Martin Shanahan from Fishy Fishy in Kinsale in just a little bit. He opened his doors last night for the first time. So we'll see how they're getting on down there and how they're feeling about the season ahead, because, of course, it's all going to be about the staycation. At the briefing yesterday, our chief medical officer told us to cancel our holidays abroad. We shouldn't be travelling overseas. It's not safe. And you know what? I get it. We all want our little bit of sun. I can't wait to jump on a plane too. I'd planned for September. But when you see what's happening in Leicester and other places around the world, and then watch the RTE Investigates documentary that was on last night. That's been all the talk today as well. And, you know, we have to do what's safe, not just for ourselves, but also for the collective, for all of us in the country. And do you know what? If you haven't seen it, if you didn't get to watch it last night, do yourselves a favour and watch it, because if you are lamenting your holiday or having to cancel, it's just a reminder of what a second phase would possibly entail. Maybe not for your family or your circle, but for other families. And the compassion and care of our nurses to their patients in their final moments in that television programme last night. You know, it was so powerful and so emotional. And I have to say, to the families who allowed their loved ones' experiences be shown, like, they have to sign release forms and had to watch very difficult visuals themselves. It was so hard to process the whole thing and the enormity of the whole thing. But a massive thank you to you, because all of a sudden the numbers we read about and have been reading about for months, we see faces and personalities behind those numbers who have families and pastimes and hobbies who fell victim to coronavirus. And, you know, it's just a reminder, it is a fight that we still have to fight collectively. And, you know, when you look at that compared to going abroad and possibly not having your holiday this year, you know, it's really, there's no odds really. And I am going to be chatting to Conor Pope. We're going to get him up on the line, because he'll have advice if you have booked a holiday and what now needs to happen if you're going to cancel it. And then on a positive note, because I think a lot, you know, yesterday, I feel like it's a crest and trough of a wave all the time. Every day is different, because yesterday sort of felt like a celebration. And then, you know, there's a lot for everybody to take in again today. But on a positive note, I'm going to be talking to Irish travel expert Sarah Hanrahan as well. She specialises in Irish itineraries too, for every budget, just to give us a little bit of inspiration. Because I know people are saying holidaying at home can be expensive, and the week that you'd get in Spain, you can't do it the same in Ireland here. And, you know, it might mean a day, a night away or two nights away. So if you have your own suggested hidden gems, whether it's your local or somewhere that you've gotten to know over the years holidaying at home, let us know. 51551 or ray@rte.ie. Where is your go-to holiday spot in Ireland? And I know a lot of people are probably going, I'm not telling you now. So we'll be giving you some ideas later on in the show as well. Jerry Daly, he's here for his usual Tuesday slot. So any gardening queries that you have, get them into us. ray@rte.ie. And of course, we have our All-Ireland quiz. It's Wicklow versus Sligo today, so looking forward to that. But let's kick off with a beautiful tune. This is the collection of female Irish vocalists, the Comic Relief single, The Cover of Dreams. It is stunning. Just gives me goosebumps every time. I think it's fabulous. Jack in Kildare said, I think if and when we have a St. Patrick's Day parade again, those nurses and doctors should be front and centre down O'Connell Street for everything that they have done over the last 4 months. Here, I have to entirely agree with you, Jack. And it was great to see them getting recognised on Comic Relief the other night. Anne and Joe Byrne, we had a delicious meal yesterday in Fishy Fishy, crab salad, fab brown bread, such a treat. We were so delighted just to be out. Really, and we totally enjoyed the experience. For those who are finding it hard to holiday at home, would they consider a house swap with friends or family? I'm swapping with my brother. And again, that's a brilliant idea, you know. Put it out there, cousins, friends, family, and just a change of scenery, I think, is a lot of what all of us are looking for right now. Somebody else, we're down on the Beira Peninsula for a couple of days. If there's anywhere nicer, I would like to know. And John in Tullamore, great day trip is Loughborough in County Offaly, full of adventure and nature. It's something for everybody, and a hidden gem in the Midlands. Lots more coming in there. But let's take a quick break and we'll get back to them after that.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Welcome back. Conor Pope, how are you doing, sir?
I'm great, Catherine. How are you getting on?
Good, good. And we're talking a lot. I was chatting to you yesterday as well, but there's so much changing all the time on a day-to-day basis, as we know. And as I was saying just at the top of the show there, our chief medical officer urging people who've made bookings to travel abroad for holidays not to go ahead with that booking. So he's very concerned about it. What are our rights as a consumer? That's why we've got you here on the line. So look, at what is the story? If you've got the flights booked and you're now having second thoughts because of what Tony Holland said, where do we stand?
The really bad news for an awful lot of your listeners who are in this position, and there's going to be thousands and thousands of people out there in that position, is they have virtually no rights when it comes to travelling in the weeks ahead. The bottom line is that if the planes take off and you're not on the plane, you lose your money. End of story. And those are the rules that are in place right now. Now, it's an absurd situation, Catherine, because Tony Holohan said last night, and this is a direct quote from him, think about other people and the risk you might pose, even if you are infected and recover very well, and think about the people who are more vulnerable. So he's urging everybody to stay at home this summer. And so that's on the one hand. Then on the other hand, you have officials in the Department of Transport and the former Minister for Transport, Shane Ross, and you have government officials saying that the summer is not lost and there'll be air bridges opened across Europe and people will be able to take their holidays. Now, the thing is that people may be in a position, the flights may leave and these air bridges may open. But if you're heeding the advice of the chief medical officer and you decide not to travel, well, then you lose all the money. So what a lot of people are now saying is that something needs to be done to protect the consumers who are taking a responsible course of action, not traveling, but don't want to be out of pocket to the tune of thousands of euros in some instances. So that's the situation. It's terribly bad news for these people because, you know, in the normal circumstances, if the government put out an advisory saying do not travel to X country or Y country, well, then airlines wouldn't fly to those countries and people would get their money back. And that's how it would operate.
Because it's advice. It's not official. It's not government.
Well, exactly. But for instance, like remember a couple of years back, there was some terrible terrorist attacks in Tunisia and Egypt. And there was a travel advisory. The Department of Foreign Affairs advised people against non-essential travel to those countries. And once those travel advisories were put in place, people got their money back and airlines stopped flying to those countries. But now that the travel advisory is in place for the whole world, apart from this island, and the airlines and a lot of tour operators, not all of them, a lot of tour operators have been rushed to get the money back. And the really insane thing here is, if you travel against government advice, you invalidate your travel insurance. So you have absolutely no protections should anything at all happen to you while overseas. So not only does the chief medical advisor urge against travel,
you're not
travel
covered.
Insurance companies won't cover you if you do travel in the situation that exists now, and it's just putting people in an enormously difficult position. And you're not talking about small amounts of money here, Catherine. You're talking about thousands of euro for some people, and this is money they can ill afford to lose. Some of those people will have lost their jobs. A lot of them will have seen their income falling, and there's a huge amount of uncertainty in the country. So it's not even about people getting their money back at this stage. It's about a lot of people would bite the hands off airlines if they gave them vouchers, but the airlines are saying, no, it's all right, our planes are leaving, so pity about you.
Mm-hmm. And in fact, we are getting a couple of texts in here. Frank, I'm still waiting for money back from Aer Lingus since Easter. What's the delay at this stage? I opted for a voucher offered by Aer Lingus in March for a flight booked to the US. No voucher has appeared. Please ask Connor what I should do. And we've heard about this. There are delays, but Aer Lingus are issuing the vouchers. There is a delay in some instances, but people looking wondering where they are.
Yeah. Well, in fairness to the airlines, they're dealing with a situation
huge
that
amount.
Nobody could possibly have imagined. Like virtually every flight everywhere across the world was grounded for a period of 2 months, 3 months. Every one of those people was looking for refunds or vouchers. So I can understand there's delays and backlogs. And the normal rules of saying, oh, you have to wait 5 days or 7 working days before you get your refund, I can understand why that doesn't apply. But, you know, having said that, people can't just be left waiting for weeks or months on end. But even those people are better off than the person who might have their holiday booked to Malaga or to Corfu or wherever it might be on the 10th of July. If the plane takes off and an Irish person travels contrary to the advice of the chief medical officer, well, then they're putting their own health at risk. And frankly, they're putting the people at home's health at risk when they return. So it's just an awful position. And I do think that there needs to be some guidance from the very top in Ireland to try and give some comfort to these people who are living with a massive amount of uncertainty and have been for months.
Mm. And in lieu of that guidance coming from the top, what can people do now? I mean, is it worth talking? It's always worth talking to tour operators, about playing the long game, pushing it out, that sort of thing.
100%. And I think some tour operators have been very accommodating. And some tour operators have said, listen, we understand that it's an extremely difficult position, so we'll push your holiday back to 2021. And that will suit an awful lot of people. I mean, in my own personal circumstances, I was due to go camping on two different occasions this summer, but both of the campsite operators have just said, listen, let's just write off 2020 and you can go in 2021. I'm happy with that. At least I've got my holiday paid for. But the important thing there was the dialogue that continued between me and the tour operators. But when it comes to airlines, it's a very different story because, as you well know, Catherine, it's virtually impossible to make contact with a human voice in any airline. And then even when you do make contact with that human voice, it's virtually impossible to get any information that will make any kind of sense to anybody. So, you know, keep a paper trail of all your correspondence, keep mailing the airlines, keep saying, listen, I'm open to discuss this, I want to discuss this, and then we hope and pray that people will reach common sense decisions and everything will be okay.
Well, that remains to be seen, doesn't it? And as you said, it really has to come from the top now. And it's about the only way is really forcing airlines to cancel certain flights. That's the only way people are going to get their money back.
Absolutely. Yeah. If the flights are cancelled, but even just very briefly, Catherine, we've seen this absurd situation with Aer Lingus in the United States in that they're flying flights to North America. Irish people have the tickets for those flights. They're not allowed onto the plane, never mind into America, as a result of travel restrictions that have been imposed in the US. But Aer Lingus legally can say, well, listen, the plane took off. It's not our problem that you couldn't get into the country. No money back. Now, that's not what Aer Lingus is saying. A lot of the time they are giving vouchers. But they're not compelled to give refunds or vouchers in those instances.
Mm. And look, it's such a difficult position for people to be in, making that decision. You know, as you said, thousands of euro. You and your family are fine. You're happy to travel. But now the advice has come that it's not safe and it's the right thing to do is to stay at home. So it's so conflicting. Anyway, Connor, thank you so much for coming on and giving us that insight. I'm going to talk to to Sarah Hanrahan now. You heard there, we've been advised to cancel our overseas holidays this year. So what are our options for staycations? That's what we all really want to know now. Sarah is a personal Irish experience planner. That sounds awfully awfully good. She's on the line now to guide us through how to plan our staycation. Sarah, good afternoon to you.
Hi, Catherine. How are you?
I'm great. A personal Irish experience planner.
That's it.
Love it. So how long have you been one of them?
Well, I've been working in Irish culture for about 5 or 6 years, and I've been doing sort of Irish travel planning and Dublin event guides for years and years, and then started going into sort of bespoke travel planning for international tourists coming overseas. The service was offered from certain hotels around Dublin, and they could sort of avail of it if they wanted to or not. And then obviously with international travel up in the air, excuse the pun, I've kind of elaborated and changed it up a bit to focus on staycations for people in Ireland who want to travel in Ireland.
And it's brilliant because you just diversify your business, and people are looking for this information now. And actually, when you look at the trends over the years, people want to have an experience. You know, they want to come to Ireland, whether it's for an outdoor adventure experience or a foodie experience or a cultural experience.
I think there's a reason why Ireland is continuously rated one of the best places to travel to. You know, I think we all have a habit of overlooking that and kind of thinking there are kind of, you know, nicer places further afield. But there really is a reason why Ireland is so popular, and it offers everything. And I can guarantee that from my research and from my own personal experience.
Well, I suppose the one thing that you hear coming up time and time again, and I said it at the beginning, your week in Ireland is not going to cost you the same as a week in Spain. You know, the likelihood is with your two kids, traveling in Ireland is going to be more expensive than your package holiday in Spain. So do you, when you work with people, how do you work with people? For example, I get in touch with you. There's myself, Porrick and Ellie. There's three of us. We want a nice hotel, blah, blah, blah. Do you do personalised itineraries?
I do.
And you talk to all your clients beforehand?
That's exactly it. So it's completely bespoke, completely personalised for each individual. And I've had a huge array of, you know, it could be groups, it could be individuals, it could be couples, couples with young children, couples with teenage children. I cater for everybody. And what I usually do is it's a video consultation, a 30-minute consultation. I have a list of very detailed questions I ask them during the consultation to really get a gauge of what they want out of their experience, because I want it to be amazing. I'm so passionate about Ireland, and I really want people to feel they're getting the most out of their money and out of their time. So I'll kind of gather exactly what they want out of their experience in Ireland, whether they want to stay in hotels, whether they kind of want Airbnbs, you know, what type of food they like, what are their interests, what makes a trip really special for them, what their budget is, everything. Yeah. And then I sit down and I plan a completely personalized trip for them.
And I love that. And you do practice what you preach, because you have a dog, so you like to holiday at home,
Stanley.
Because you can't bring Stanley abroad with you, so you've kind of traveled the byroads and high roads of Ireland.
I got Stanley 4 years ago, and it kind of really reignited my passion. Well, also I traveled a good bit after college, and I kind of wanted to keep that gusto for exploring when I came back. And then I got Stanley, and he's the love of my life, and I wanted to bring him everywhere. So I'm very, very knowledgeable on dog friendly
hotels.
Well.
Where's the best dog friendly hotel or dog friendly area? I know we probably shouldn't be plugging particular hotels, but where have you had the best holiday?
There's no particular area as such. It actually, you could be kind of surprised. Some places I would have thought you go and it's really rural, and the pub owner mightn't mind you popping in with the dog, and they very well might, and then vice versa. So I don't know whether there's one kind of particular, but I have done Cork, I've done Kerry, I've done Donegal. My parents live on the Iron Islands, so I'm always out there with him. He comes on the little 8-seater plane with me. So there's a lot of places. It's really up and coming, and a lot of places now are offering dog friendly rooms, even if it's in a separate part of the hotel, because a lot of people, when they want to travel in Ireland, you know, why not bring the dog? Kind of seems like one of the reasons to do it.
Well, a lot of people texting in that holidaying at home is too expensive and that they're probably going to have to forego it this year. So
like, I don't agree.
Okay, so give us I'm family, three kids from Dublin, looking to go somewhere for a week. What would you suggest to do?
Well, right now, obviously, it's kind of unique because there are a lot of places that aren't necessarily open. More kind of outdoorsy activity places are opening. But again, we're not always guaranteed the weather. Right now in Ireland, I definitely think West Cork is somewhere that's really attractive with children, because there's just a lot of outdoor things that are definitely open. There's kind of snorkeling, surfing lessons, clay pigeon shooting, There's, you know, model railway villages. There's a lot of hotels that have like family rooms, kids clubs, leisure centres, pools, jungle gyms, that sort of thing. You can also stay, if you want to do self-catering, there's some really affordable Airbnbs. You can stay in your own treehouse even. You can make it amazing and then you can self-cater, and that does save a lot as well.
And have you noticed, Sarah, in terms of doing experiences for your clients, that prices have, like, what's your experience over the last couple of months with pricing across the board at home?
I mean, whether I've noticed an increase I haven't noticed, but what's really surprising to me is the amount of places that are booked up. I wasn't sure. It's kind of hard to gauge the tone with people and whether they've been nervous about booking, but I'm actually working on some itineraries today and there's a lot of places that I'm calling that are completely booked already.
Okay. I mean, that's the thing for people to get to kind of put something in the diary now.
I didn't think that would be the case. I thought people would be more nervous maybe to book staycations, but definitely not from what I'm experiencing now, especially when it comes to the bank holiday weekends and, you know, the kind of the bigger weekends over the summer, they are fully booked a lot of the places.
So what sort of experiences off the top of your head? I mean, I know it's very difficult for you because it's you know, you have to figure out who your client are and what their individual needs are. But I'm just looking at your site here. So there's sunset kayaking, hikes, trails, you do all sorts of stuff. So there's free stuff in there as well as experiences that you pay for then as well.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, at the end of the day, I want people to get their value for money. And, you know, very few of us can afford to just throw caution to the wind and go off and spend whatever we'd like. Although it is amazing planning itineraries for people when they can do that. But, you know, at the end of the day, most of us are on a budget and we want to get the most amount for our money. So there are plenty of I would never or very rarely send someone off with an itinerary where everything is paid for. There's always going to be a lot of free activities because at the end of the day, Ireland offers amazing free activities and we have gorgeous outdoor adventures that you can go on and you can pack a picnic, or if you want to be, you know, extra fancy, there's castles that do picnics in a backpack for you, even cheese boards in a backpack, and you go off and explore the woodlands. And there's every level of every kind of price point for people.
And what's your favourite holiday in Ireland? Are you going to say the Aran Islands? Your folks are based there, are they? Do they live there?
My parents live on Inishman. I love going there, but at the end of the day, I get to eat my mom's food and she's an amazing cook, so I don't know if she'd be too happy to have everyone over for dinner.
Somebody has said, holidays at home, there is no place better than Kilkee and the Loophead Peninsula in West Clare.
Yes.
Stunning cliffs and walks, lots to see and do. It's all on loophead.ie. Camping in Doolin, 6 nights, €150.
Yes.
Euro. Boom, says Philip.
There are loads of gorgeous glamping. You know, if people kind of want to camp, but they don't actually like the idea of roughing it, they just like the idea of being outdoors. We have a huge amount of glamping options in Ireland now. It's become really popular in the last couple of years.
Where would be the best ones that people could look up?
Oh, let me think.
I know Drumquina do them. John Brennan is doing them down there in Drumquina.
There are luxury yurts in Port Salon in Donegal, and they have gorgeous mountain views and they look stunning. I haven't actually been there, but I've sent people there. They look amazing.
Yeah, and great fun for kids as well, because it's something different. It's not just a hotel room.
And I also think it takes a lot of the stress out of travel planning. I'm not a nervous, my partner is a massive airport nervous person, you know, one of those people who just freaks about the whole logistics of getting on a plane and your liquids and the weight of your bag. It doesn't help that I'm always overpacked. But I think we kind of underestimate how much stress is involved in the logistics of getting to the airport, checking in, getting our baggage on, having our baggage arrive, all of that. And it takes all of that away from it, because, you know, when you're going on a staycation, you have a lot more room for movement in terms of what time you leave at and what time you come back at and what you back.
And I think it's a good way to look at it as well, that you can have, you know, 2 or 3 nights in your Airbnb or your glamping and maybe 1 night in a hotel to try and maybe look at 3 nights as opposed to a week to try and
Absolutely.
Make it work. And I love the idea of house sharing, you know, with your family and friends, as long as it's done safely. And I just think that's such a great option now for people.
And even if you don't have a house to swap, there are lots of different options. There's pet sitting services where you can go and stay in someone's house while they're away and look after their pet and return for the stay. And there's loads of different options.
Okay. Well, what's your Instagram platform as well, Sarah, again,
just so we can... I Come Undone.
I Come Undone. Okay, brilliant.
Yes.
And people can get in touch with you there and avail of your services. So listen,
and
well done.
Plan their dream Irish getaway.
Love it. Thank you so much. Best
thanks,
of luck.
Catherine,
and well done for diversifying with your business. I love
thank
that.
Thank you very much.
Well done. That was Sarah Hanrahan there. Okay, we are going to be talking to a family after the break who brought not one, not two, but three newborns home during lockdown. Now, the last few months have been a blur for many of us, but for parents, Emma and David, it has been a whirlwind as they welcomed triplets into the world last month. This week would have been their due date, but thankfully, despite Callie, Quinn and Minnie's early arrival, they're now all at home, all doing great, all thriving. Let's find out if mom and dad are the same. Emma and David are on the line. Good afternoon, guys.
Hey, hi, Catherine.
I'm really good. I'm really good. How are you both doing?
But other than that, we're still braiding anyway. That's the main thing.
Well, I'd imagine you're not going to be taken off for a 2 week holiday anytime soon.
I'd kill for a 2 week holiday. We'll be having one of them staycations, I imagine, for the next year or two. We've just been speaking about.
I can imagine. Well, listen. First of all, massive congratulations to the two of you. And Emma, I met you last year, right? I met you. You're a hairstylist, and you did me tresses last year at a photo shoot.
That's correct, yeah. It was,
you were very...
Your headshot, so
yeah.
Your daughter wasn't well at the time, I remember.
Yeah. You were very early on in your pregnancy at that point.
I was, and I was dying to tell everybody in the world that I was pregnant, but I was trying to keep it a little bit to myself, you know, in the early days.
Yeah. Well, listen, first of all, we'll talk about the pregnancy and all that, but tell us about the triplets, Callie, Quinn and Minnie. How old are they now?
They were born on the 14th of May, so they're 6 weeks. They'll be 7 weeks old now on Thursday.
Okay, and all doing good?
Thriving.
Okay.
Like, we just had the public health nurse out with us today, actually, and she couldn't have been more complimentary to them.
Brilliant. And so they're home a few weeks. And how has the settling in period been? Because I think people have been so unsettled anyway during lockdown, not knowing where to put themselves, trying to deal with their partners and their kids and being in the house all the time. And then you come home with three.
I know, but, well, we were kind of isolated anyway. Well, obviously, we were taking the lockdown very serious and isolating ourselves for the whole time. So we've been in a baby bubble the last few weeks. So it's just crazy, to be honest with you.
Yeah. I mean, bring us back, because some people may have heard your story on the news, a few weeks ago, but bring us back, because being pregnant is one thing, being pregnant with triplets. And David, you weren't allowed into the hospital, obviously. Were you there for the birth?
Yeah, I was allowed to go in for the birth. That morning I was dropped out into the hospital at 6:40 a.m. but then I had to sit outside the hospital. I wasn't allowed in, so I just went off, got a newspaper and a cup of coffee, and I think I was sitting outside till like 8:15 when I got the phone call.
Oh my God.
Flew in and they dressed me up in all the protective gear. I imagine it's what surgeons use during their surgeries. The mask, the hat, the gloves, the vest, everything. And then I think 9:15 I was allowed to go into the delivery room, sat with Emma, held her hand while they were doing the section, like, and I swear to God, boy, I think it was half an hour we were in there before we were leaving with three daughters. It was a bit surreal, to be honest with you. I didn't think it was going to be that fast.
And a hard time, I suppose, for lots of parents, for dads particularly, having to wait outside, being in the car park, you looking at another dad, him looking at you, and then getting the call to be able to be allowed in. It's kind of strange thinking about it.
Yeah, it was difficult for a few weeks, only having videos and pictures and stuff to look at, you know, like when I was getting videos of them crying out like that, I was like wanting to grab them and stuff like that. It was hard for the first few weeks, but I kind of knew they were going to be in the NICU, so I was half prepared for it, you know. But when I heard about the corona now and I wasn't allowed in at all, it kind of knocked me for six, you know what I mean? It was stressful for a few weeks, but I knew it was for the best, for the sake of all the babies, so I just tried not to let it get to me too much, you know.
And Emma, how was it for you? Like, how long were you in hospital altogether?
I was only in hospital for a couple of days, so I had the girls on the Thursday and I was home on the Sunday.
Okay. And then were you just going in and out yourself to see them? And
yeah, and it was very difficult to do that, because I was doing expressing the breast milk for them. So I was tied to the pump and then had two babies at home. I had Casey at home, I suppose, at that time.
But, so Casey is their older sister.
Yeah.
Okay.
She's 10.
She's 10, right. And then you had two of the babies at home, and so you had Callie and Quinn at home, and Minnie had to stay in.
That's correct, yeah. So we had to keep on going up and down to hospitals and trying to mind everybody. And it's just the baby brain as well as is hitting hard at the moment.
I can imagine. And so what weight were they all when they were born? Like how early did they come and what weight were each of them?
So they were 33 weeks and 4 days born.
Okay.
And they were born, Callie was the heaviest born. She was 4'4". Then we had Quinn was 4 pounds and then Minnie was 3.5 pounds.
Okay. I love Minnie was 3.5. So she's the little one.
Yeah.
But you never know, she can have a growth spurt now and end up being 6 foot.
It's funny,
in a couple of years' time.
The consultant in the hospital says to me, she was like, it's cruel to call her Minnie because she's going to be 6 foot Minnie.
And come here, they're identical triplets. So how rare is that? Conceived naturally.
Yeah, conceived naturally. So the odds are kind of they're very broad. So it can be like 1 in 70,000 or 1 in 200 million, depending on what kind of site you're looking up or whatever. But it's super rare.
Okay, and sure, bring us back to the day when you were in there getting the scan. I suppose for a lot of moms, it's the day, moms and dads, it's the day you remember. It's like, oh, there it is. What was that like? David, I'll go to you for that one.
Yeah, well, to be honest, with what would that be, a lot of twins in their families, we were, like, I don't know if we were half expecting twins, but I wasn't surprised when she found the second one. But, you know, we went in, they put the jelly on Emma's belly and we started doing the scan, like, and then she came to the fourth one. She's like, oh, there's one beautiful little soul. And I was like, oh, me baby. And then she moved it a little bit and she's like, oh, two beautiful little souls. And I was shocked, but not too bad. I could handle it. But then she moved it just like another couple of centimetres. She's like, three beautiful little souls. And catch it. I'm not even joking. I came off the chair onto my knees, crawled towards the lady that was doing the scan and demanded she stop counting babies. Stop counting babies! Stop counting! I was crawling on my hands and knees just in pure shock. Couldn't stand. It was just, it was surreal altogether. Like, I've never been brought to my knees by anything in my life. But that day, I was crawling around.
Oh my God, that is priceless. And Emma, what was it? How was it for you?
As I said, I just zoned out completely. Like, my brain just turned off. Like, I was hoping, really, like, we would have twins because we were so long waiting to fall pregnant. But I was kind of hoping that we would have twins because, as David was saying, we have a lot of twins in our family. So my dad's a twin.
Okay.
And his brother and sister are twins.
Okay.
But these are spontaneous. They're not in the family. They're not genetically. They're not genetically born or anything like that. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a complete and utter shock.
And what age is Casey? Casey is 10, is she? Is that what I said?
Casey's 10.
Casey's 10.
It's been a whole decade since I did the whole baby thing.
That's what I was going to say. So, I mean, it's like trying to relearn everything all over again. And obviously...
Relearn. Everything has changed. Like, everything has changed. I haven't a clue. David thought that I was going to know everything. And I was saying to him, like, I'm with you. Like, I haven't a clue. It's about taking this all over again. I just...
And I can imagine.
I can guess myself so much.
I had two friends who gave birth during the lockdown, and to different experiences. For them, it was like being on their own was great for one couple because they didn't have the family coming in on top of them and having to hoover and, you know, put on tea and coffee. But then there was the added pressure of not having help, not just having somebody to hold the baby so they could go for a shower. Like one of my friends, the husband went back to work and she was on her own, having nobody in the house. But having three to look after, and because obviously you're not working. Dave, are you working at the minute or what's going on there?
Yeah, I'm doing 3 days a week. I cut down when I came out the triplets. I didn't want to be too far away. I think I've been alone with the triplets twice since they got home and it was only like 2 or 3 hours, but my God, it's hard. Like, I'm having one in my arm and then the two of them are crying and
changing three nappies at the one time.
It's not easy. I'm actually getting real good at it though.
Brilliant.
We have no choice, Dave, but to muck in. Excuse the pun.
No, I had to jump straight in. Like, there's no way I could leave four new three babies on our own.
And I know.
Not only would it be cruel, it'd be just undoable, I'd say.
And I know Casey needs particular attention here because she has been your rock, Emma, when David was out working and you can't have anybody else in, that she's been just brilliant being the older sister.
Yeah, and the biggest thank you of the whole thing, I think, has to go to her, because with the whole lockdown and not having the routine of school and the adjustment period for young kids like that then as well,
yeah,
she just had to stand by me for the whole time. Like, we were really isolated. We didn't go out.
Yeah.
She was just literally by my side. She used to memorise everybody's numbers and have a little plan in case my water's broke and Dad wasn't here. And
Is she there?
Go to her granny's house. Yeah, she's downstairs at the moment.
Oh, would she come up and have a chat? Is she miles away?
I think she would.
I'll go get her, Emma. You go get her.
You go get her, David.
So, Emma,
we're both in separate rooms here, sorry.
Okay. So, have you had family in now since then? And are you?
Yeah, we have. To be honest with you, Catherine, especially for mental health, like, we were really kind of away from everybody. Like, you would love to be able to share your pregnancy, especially with it being as rare and special as it was.
Mm.
We would have loved to be able to share with all the family, and we couldn't do that.
And how was the pregnancy for you?
To be honest with you, I failed through it. It was brilliant.
Oh, I'm going to interrupt you there. Yeah, Casey.
Yeah.
How you doing?
I'm doing good.
My name is Catherine, and I'm just talking to your mum and dad there about your new sisters. Are you delighted to have them?
Yeah, I love them.
Do you? What's the best thing about them?
Probably hugs.
Oh, and you know how to change nappies, you know how to give them feeds, you know how to dress them and give the greatest cuddles in the world.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? You are the best big sister ever.
Thank you.
You're the best big sister. They're so lucky to have you.
They really are.
Listen, lovely chatting to all of you guys. Thanks so much for taking the time in what is a very busy house, I can imagine. And listen, wishing you the best of luck.
I actually heard them crying downstairs for...
Oh, did you? Okay, I better let you run.
It's dinner time at the zoo.
Dinner time at the zoo. Listen, well done. Congratulations. All the health and happiness in the world to you all.
Thanks so much, Catherine.
Bye, guys.
Thank you.
Bye, Casey.
Thank you.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
That is The Weeknd there, great track. Now, a couple of weeks ago on the show, I was talking to Dave McBride from Southside Angling in Dublin. We were talking about the boom that fishing shops have been experiencing as the country opens up and how fishing has become the socially distant activity of the summer. Well, if more people are out fishing, we thought we better get some tips on how to make the perfect fish dish. And what better man to help us than Martin Shanahan from Fishy Fishy in Kinsale in Cork. How are you doing, sir?
Very good, Captain, and yourself?
Good, good. Have you mopped the brow? Have you sat down since last night and taken stock of everything?
Yes, I have, believe it or not. Look, I think, do you know what? There was more pressure probably last weekend getting ready and kind of figuring out everything. Yesterday actually was a wonderful day. Customers came in, our regular customers, and visitors to the town, delighted to see the restaurants open, ourselves included, and it was wonderful to have our staff back, our team, our family. It was wonderful, you know?
Yeah. And did you do lunch and dinner, or did you just do dinner, or how did you do it?
No, we done lunch and dinner. We trade 7 days a week, 12 to 9 p.m. There's a plug for Fishy. but we traded as we normally would, and to be fair, people reserved beforehand. So we had their details, we had their contact numbers, and people came in as a normal, and lots of people were excited. Oh, Martin, lads, it's lovely to have you to see you again. Likewise, we were delighted to have them. I think initially I would say that our staff were probably slightly more worried than the customer, you know? You know, because they want to do everything right and social distance and serve them without, you know, kind of without causing any problems. And really, by yesterday evening, staff were relaxed, the customer were lovely and relaxed, and we had a great day yesterday. It was very, very positive.
Did you have anybody, any walk-ins, Martin, or anyone looking to walk in, or was it all, did you have to stick to your bookings?
No, we had a few walk-ins, and like anything, like in any business, I mean, look, we have to kind of look at what's there. We are encouraging bookings, but if you come to the door unannounced, naturally, if we can get you in, we will get you in. We'll take your name and your contact details And if you're happy to wait for 5 or 10 minutes, then, you know, if that'll be a problem this summer, Catherine, we'll be delighted. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. Was it an emotional day for you, Martin, or was it just more of a relief?
I think it was relief, Catherine, really. I think it was relief. I think we've gone through all the, you know, in the last three and a half months, the emotions, the pressure, the stress. What will we do? Where will we ever come back? Will we open again? You know, will we lose all our business? Will we have work for our staff? I think we went through that. It was a roller coaster for everybody for the last 3.5 months.
Mm.
So yesterday was a massive relief. Mm. And today I would even say, okay, sure, yeah. It feels like we've been open more than a day.
Yeah.
And that's wonderful, you know.
Well, that's the sign of a good team as well. And you know what you're doing and experience. How many tables did you lose?
We ended up losing about 25% of our capacity.
Okay.
So, you know, and look, luckily enough, we're quite a large restaurant. We have an upstairs, we have an outside dining area, both upstairs and downstairs. So we've lost about 25% of our seating, but that's okay. Look, if we can keep most of those kind of full over the next 3 months, it'll get us, you know, it'll give us a little cushion to go into the winter. And then I suppose really that's when the test will be on for us, I feel, you know.
Mm.
Have we kind of put enough money into the bank to get us over the winter? But I feel, look, we're established a long time. We're open. We've always opened 12 months of the year. So I feel we'll be okay, you know.
Mm. And I think for like so many sectors, I think lockdown was a test for many people who run restaurants. By the very nature, you never stop. You're always on the move. You're always on your feet. It's late nights. It's long hours. And how did you find lockdown? You know, for somebody who's on the move all the time, did you find it hard to stop?
I did.
Yeah.
I did big time, you know. I wouldn't be a man that would write a diary, but believe it or not, I started to write my thoughts every day, you know.
Did you?
There was, oh, yeah, you know, and there was days there. I mean, I wrote one in early June and I couldn't, what I expressed on it, I couldn't tell you on radio, but it wasn't very sweet, you know. I was like, F this, But yes, I think, look, again, the first 2 weeks, 3 weeks, we were, you know, cautious, worried, nervous, everything. Then we opened for takeaway probably the end of March, early April. And again, that was to kind of keep our core staff, my two head chefs, our two managers, and one other gentleman, you know, to keep them kind of sustained, give them few bob on the weekends. Also, we fed their families. The whole town of Kinsale fed, you know, all the kind of the elderly people. Every restaurant kind of really came together and we all done Meals on Wheels. It wasn't to make money. It wasn't to anything. Mm. It was just for our sanity, I think, you know. Mm.
And in terms of your sanity, what were you doing? Did you learn Spanish or do gardening or do anything like that? Did you take up anything?
I did not, but you know what I done? I took up walking 1 week and I was brilliant. I mean, I must have walked probably 25 kilometres.
For
there.
1 week?
You know, for 1 week, which to me, for me, Catherine, I'd probably walk more in the restaurant over 5 days, right?
Yeah.
But to be out physically on the street or on the roads walking, I was brilliant. I was impressed. My wife gave out to me, I went gardening one day and she said, you don't garden on the hottest day of the year. She said, you garden in the shade. But of course, I got lovely suntan. I went back sea swimming. Got a wetsuit for my wife for my birthday there in the middle of May. So I went back sea swimming. Wonderful. And then I think kind of early June kicked in. And I suppose, you know, we were hearing, okay, the 29th of June. So my business head started working again.
Yeah.
When you're in business.
And getting back into it. You never switch off.
You never switch off. No,
you have
no,
1 minute to tell us about two good fish dishes. We talked about
two good fish dishes.
Well, in 1 minute.
Say,
ready, steady,
in one
cook.
Minute. Mackerel. Okay, mackerel are in season now. If you bought your fishing rods, as we hear, go out, catch some mackerel, right? Take the head off, gut it, score it. A little bit of salt, pepper, a little bit of chili maybe, under the grill. Make a salad with tomatoes, onions, cucumber, black olives, nice drizzle of olive oil and a little bit of balsamic vinegar. There's your first recipe. Second recipe, I would say, get your hands on crab claws or lobster. Lobster and crab is in season now. Just salted water. I'm sure we'll get lots of seawater, right? Pot of salted water in. Put in your crab claws or your lobster. Give them about 15 minutes. Cool them down. About a half an hour, hit them a crack with a hammer or something like that and serve them with mayonnaise, you're laughing. And new potatoes. Remember, new potatoes are in season now. So again, if Eamon Ryan will allow us to take seawater out of the sea in Ireland, get it when you get when you go to the beach, right? Bring your empty milk container, fill it up, bring it home and boil your new potatoes
in seawater. Now that's the best tip I've heard all day. Martin Shanahan, always lovely chatting to you. Thank you so much.
A pleasure, Captain.
And look best of luck. You too. Best of luck.
You.
And I hope business stays steady for you. Anish Toshe and I'm Deprive Shkelton and Nukdil and Marion Nihulawan. Gurmahagat Marion, lots of your hidden gem texts coming in here. Rory from Westport says a loop walk on Achill Island called Slí Gráinne Vale is a must for anyone visiting the West this year. Full of terrific scenery and historical sites overlooking Clew Bay. Well marked out as well. It takes about 2.5 hours. I've glamped in Donegal at Loch Mardal. Great fun, real snug, says Laura. Dog friendly hotels. The Mustard Seed in Ballingarry would be hard to beat. We spent one night there last October. With our English Springer Spaniel Brandon. We had a luxury suite with access to the garden and Brandon was provided with a dog bowl, a dog bed in the sitting room. It was so good. We were back for a weekend. We're going back for a weekend in August. Food is excellent. There you go. Lovely warm Limerick welcome. That's from Anne. Lots more coming in and I'll try and get through a couple more. But for now, it is time once again for our All-Ireland quiz. Yes, it is Wicklow versus Sligo today. Lorraine Bailey is representing Wicklow and Sarah MacDonald is representing Sligo. Good afternoon, ladies.
Hi, Catherine.
Hi, Catherine.
How are we feeling, Lorraine? I'm going to start with you representing Wicklow today. Are you more or less nervous than the last time you were on?
Probably a bit more nervous, Catherine.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, what's the pressure of talking to a Carlow woman, you know?
Oh, there you go, there you go. What have you been up to today or over the last couple of days or since you've been on last with Ray?
Well, I suppose the homeschooling finished up, they got their holidays on Friday, so that was a big relief because it was a bit hectic before that.
How many kids do you have?
Three
kids, wow, okay.
Yeah.
So that was a lot of work, a lot of homeschooling for you.
Well, yes, 3, 5 and 7, so the 5-year-old and the 7-year-old had a nice bit of work there for a good while. So yeah, and I was doing college course as well, so and doing a bit of work. So it was a bit.
And yeah, the smaller ones were getting much more homework than the older fellas, weren't they?
Yeah. Our smaller fellas were getting more than Connor, yeah.
And any, we've been talking a lot about holidays today and staycations and going abroad or not going abroad. A lot of people in that conundrum. Had you guys any plans or?
Yeah, I'm supposed to be in Tuscany as we speak, Catherine.
Oh, no.
Yeah, meeting my husband's brother. He's with meeting his family from Australia. And yeah, it was going to be a big celebration for my husband's 40th. But instead, we're in Costa del Navan.
Costa del Navan.
On the radio.
Well, listen. You know, I mean, there's always next year. That's what we've got to think. And will you get away for a night or two? Will you go anywhere towards the end of the summer? Or are you just playing it by ear?
The end of this month, we're going to go to Exford for a week to a self-catering house. And yeah, we'll make the best of it. We're trying to stay upbeat and be positive. Because yeah, sure, look. You know, you watched that documentary last night, as you said yourself, and puts things in perspective, doesn't it?
It really does. It really does. And again, it's, you know, for the sake of a year, things could change in a month or two again. Right now, it's just, and I, like I said at the top of the show, it feels like you're in a boat and you're riding the waves and it's going up and down and up and down. And, you know, you've just got to stay the course, I think, really. So many of us.
Exactly.
Lorraine, nice chatting to you. Sarah, you are going to be playing against Lorraine. You are up in Sligo at the moment. How are things?
Hi, Catherine. How are you?
I'm
things
great.
Are good.
Good. What have you been up to today?
Well, today, myself and the three went for a walk in Union Wood in Colooney and up to Union Rock.
Oh, I've got family up there living in Colooney, a gorgeous part of the world.
Yes.
Beautiful. And again, with Sligo, you've Mullagh Moor. I mean, beautiful. Beautiful place to holiday as well. But I know there was a rise in numbers there again.
I know. Yeah. In town, the news broke yesterday because we were all feeling very proud that we were all doing so well up here. So, so hopefully the numbers won't go up any higher than what they are at the minute. But who knows?
Does that make you, obviously, and the whole community more nervous? Have you children as well there?
Yes, I have three, a 7, 8 and an 11-year-old. Now, we're not in town, so maybe that we have that slight advantage that we're out in the country. But, yeah, you'd be a little bit apprehensive about going. Well, I would be about heading into town.
Sure, sure. And what about, you were going to Italy as well?
Yeah, we were supposed to go the last week in August, but we're not going this year.
And were you listening to Connor there? Had you flights booked and everything?
Yes, flights booked from Knock and a deposit paid on a campsite. So we're just waiting to see. Knock hasn't opened yet, so we'll see what they say when it comes nearer the time.
Okay. Well, you know what? We are going to make sure that you leave on a high today. That's what I'm going to say. And let's get some motivational songs going. It doesn't matter who wins or loses. The loser gets a Ray D'Arcy mug anyway. Sure, you leave on a high no matter what happens. Lorraine, your motivation song is what?
This is me from The Greatest Showman for Conor Finn and Roisin, because it's like their anthem. And yeah.
Love it. Let's take a listen. Oh, God, it's a great one to get the soul moving, isn't it? I love that.
They're dancing upstairs. I feel like they're going to come down through the ceiling.
Oh, God, well, you see, they're your little mascots as well. Sarah, what about you?
Sunflower Post Malone.
Oh, OK. Yeah, you do sound like a Post Malone fan. Was that your choice?
It was, yeah, of course. No, it was my children.
Your two boys picked that one. OK, let's take a listen. Okay, ladies, are you motivated? Are you feeling intelligent, intellectual, ready to go?
Bring it on, Karen.
It's a slight pause there, Sarah. Okay, Lorraine, starting with you, representing Wicklow. Here we go. Question number
one. Best of luck, Sarah. Thank you, and you too.
Great stuff. Question number one. What animal would you find on the tail of a Qantas aircraft?
Oh, a kangaroo.
Is the right answer. Well done to you, Lorraine. Sarah, coming to you, what type of leaf would you find painted on the tail of an Air Canada aircraft?
A maple leaf.
Is the right answer. Well done, ladies. Neck and neck. Okay, Lorraine, this is your audio question. Name this film.
So his vocabulistics is limited to I and M and Groot. Exclusively in that order.
I am Groot?
Tinkle in the cup. We're not looking. What's there to see? What's a twig? Everybody's seen a twig.
I'm Groot.
Oh, God, Lorraine, that's a hard one. Can you name
that
film?
No idea.
I wouldn't have got that one either. That's Guardians of the Galaxy, film from 2014. Okay, Sarah, back to you. Question number two. This is your audio question. Name this film.
I volunteer as tribute. I believe we have a volunteer.
Sarah, that film?
I don't know. Pass.
Pass. Okay, that was The Hunger Games from 2012. Brilliant movie as well. Okay, Lorraine, still representing Wicklow, still there, you're neck and neck, ladies. Question number three. To which sport do the Marquis of Queensbury rules apply?
Boxing.
Is the right answer. Well done to you. Sarah, what is the name of Limerick's main rugby venue?
Toman Park.
Is right. Okay, we're back to our audio questions. Have a listen to this, Lorraine. Don't you want me, baby? Don't you want me? Oh, don't you want me, baby? Don't you want me? Oh. The name of the band.
Oh, I can sing every word of that song.
I know, you've done many nights now dancing around the dance floor to that. 1981. Need an answer?
No.
No. Okay. It is the Human League.
Oh.
Yeah. okay, Sarah, over to you. This is another audio question. Name this group. You gotta speed it up, and Off you go, Sarah.
Buckfizz
is the right answer. So that means we have Lorraine representing Wicklow on 2 points. We have Sarah representing Sligo on 3 points. So Lorraine, it's up to you now. You can go for the 1 point question and you'll end up neck and neck, or you go for the 3-pointer and try and stay in the game.
I'll go for the 3-pointer.
Good woman. Okay. For 3 points, which of these world cities has the largest population? Rio de Janeiro, Paris, Bangkok, or Seoul?
Rio de Janeiro.
Is the right answer. Well done. Okay, you are still in the game. That has Lorraine on 5 points altogether. Well done, Lorraine. Are you sitting down? I've taken a big deep breath after that. Okay, that means, Sarah, you also have to go for the 3-point question in order to stay in the game, okay? 3 points will mean that you come out 1 point ahead. If you get this question right, you win. All right?
Okay.
Ready to go? Which of these Irish counties has the biggest population? Kilkenny, Waterford, Westmeath, or Offaly?
Kilkenny, Waterford, Westmeath, or Offaly?
Yep. Need an answer.
Kilkenny?
Oh, it's the wrong answer, Sarah. It is actually Waterford with a population of 116,176, which means, Lorraine, you are today's winner from Wicklow. Well done to you. take a big
Well done, Lorraine.
Thanks, Sarah. Hard luck.
No bother.
There's no hard luck, Sarah. Ray D'Arcy Show mug is on its way to you. So everybody's a winner here today. Congratulations, though, to you, Lorraine. We'll see you again later on in the All-Ireland quiz. And thanks for being with us today, ladies. Have a lovely afternoon.
Thanks very much.
Bye. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Keep your texts coming in to 51551. Gerry Daly is in with me next for a bit of a chat, answering all your gardening queries. I have oodles and acres of questions here, but keep on sending them in, because he is the man with the know and in the know. But before that, let's get a bit of music. This is Dermot Kennedy. That is the brilliant Dermot Kennedy there. Lots more texts coming in with your staycation tips. Connemara is a great breakaway this summer. There's so much beauty in nature to soak in, exactly what's needed after being cooped up. Kylemore Abbey. Yeah, I have not been to Kylemore Abbey in so long. One of the many great days out for the whole family. The beautiful and historic castle, the 6.5-acre Victorian wall garden, woodland, lakeshore walks, ponies, pigs, Mitchell's Cafe, serving locally sourced foods, craft and design shop. Well, you've sold it to me, whoever that anonymous texter was. Somebody else, could you please say a big thank you to Pat McElwain, Miss Corr and Miss Burke for organising a brilliant virtual graduation extravaganza for the pupils of sixth class in St. Vincent de Paul in Marino last night. The host of stars from your own Ryan Tuberty, Mattress Mick, John Sheehan, David Williams, David Walliams. Ooh, there you go, contributed. Brilliant show, even better than the real thing. And that was from the Williams family room. Okay, Gerry Daly, great to see you, sir. How are you keeping?
Not too bad.
Great, great. Gerry is going to be with us every Tuesday and until the end of the summer, because we're teaming up with Bord Bia for our Grow More competition. There's €5,000 worth of prizes to give away on the 25th of August. And all we are asking you to do is send in pictures or a video of how you've transformed your space, what you've done to it, how your garden has flourished. And Niamh was showing me the photographs today. There are pictures, amazing pictures. Balconies, big gardens, small gardens, veggie patches, wildflower gardens, everything and anything that's going in. So keep them coming in. Great advice that you can get from growmore.ie, and you can obviously tune into Gerry here for the pièce de résistance that maybe you're missing in your garden. So you can still send in your photos and videos, get them all in garden@rte.ie. So you've obviously been doing this for the last couple of weeks, Gerry, with Ray, and seeing brilliant results.
We've been doing it for about a month now, and there's been a tremendous response. And as you say, it's very varied and very creative.
Yeah.
Lots of things are, I mean, there was a daybed outdoors was one of them.
Right.
Which is a great idea, but
brilliant.
Not an obvious one.
Yeah. Love that idea.
Yeah, so there's things like that.
And there's 5 categories, is that right? Best use of space, most colourful, lockdown garden, yeah. Veggie Patch and Garden Portrait. Yeah, what does that? What's Garden Portrait?
Well, that's like a snap in time, if you like, when kiddies did something funny, or you know, but it's not a whole garden thing. In other words, it's a little what would you call it? A snapshot in time.
Okay. Okay.
Photographically
based. I think it's great that people are getting out there and being more creative. And I mean, we were just chatting during the song there about, you know, the garden centres being reopened again, and just the relief for people to get out and get some good quality plants as well, which was the other thing.
And a sense of purpose.
Yeah.
If you plant a plant and it grows and you have to water it and it grows more, it's self-satisfying.
Yeah.
And you know, at a time when people are doubtful about things,
yeah,
and worried about things,
well, I'll tell you what I did.
The plants always perform.
Well, I ordered online at the very beginning. Our garden had gone to rack and ruin. I was trying, and it was, we tidied it up, we weeded it, and then we just wanted colour in it. And of course, all the garden centres were closed, so I went online, didn't read the small print. It was a .ie website, but it obviously came in from the Netherlands or Amsterdam. You know, I think it came in from the Netherlands, and I ordered a load of bulbs as opposed to what I thought were plants. So I've planted a load of stuff now. There's green shoots coming up. Haven't a rashers what's going to turn up. I followed the instructions in terms of if it was a shaded area or a... Okay. But there was no pictures. There was just like little bags of bulbs turned up. So yeah. I don't know. I could enter the competition in a couple of weeks' time if it all goes according to plan.
You could win most interesting...
arrangement.
Most interesting effort.
Listen, loads of questions to get through. Let's get cracking with them. Can you please ask Jerry how I get my patches of grass to grow? I put down seed and watered the areas, but still no growth. So well, patchy grass is the first one.
Yeah, well, obviously putting down the seed, presumably some patches had gone a bit dead during the drought, the near drought we had there after about 5 or 6 weeks. That is now a distant memory almost. But yeah, just keep shaking out seed. What's happening there is he's put out the seed and then watered it, and the water droplets bump the seed around and it doesn't germinate very well. So okay. Put the seed out, give it a light watering with a fine mist if possible, or a very fine mist from the end of a hose. You're not meant to be using hose pipes, but anyway. Out of the watering can.
Okay.
And just leave it alone.
Grant.
And it'll do its own thing.
And leave it be.
Yeah.
Okay, tomatoes not flowering is another issue that people are having. Why aren't my tomatoes flowering? They're nearly 2 foot high. I planted them from seed. Shirley is the variety. They're in a glass house. So don't know what the problem is, says Anna Marie.
Sounds like they're short of light. And even though they're in a glass house, they may well be shaded for a lot of the day.
Okay.
So it sounds like they've become drawn, what's called drawn, leggy and weak.
Okay.
And they haven't the energy to flower, or else they haven't opened the flower. But they may have flower buds that haven't opened yet when that phone call came in. May have opened by now. But generally, if it grows too fast, too tall, it's lack of light.
Okay, so into the sunlight.
Into a better, sunnier position.
Okay. Jerry, can you advise how to get rid of horsetail weed that's growing in a bed along a wall and is pushing its way up through my tarmac driveway? It's an absolute scourge. Thanks in advance.
Yes, horsetail is, or mare's tail as it's also known, is a very, very old plant, goes back to beyond the dinosaurs, and is a very tough, long-lasting plant, roots down very deep, difficult to control. If it were in an open piece of ground, not under tarmac or along by a wall, I'd say covered with black polythene, because any plant will die, no matter how ancient it is, if it's denied light. But in this case, I would use a lawn weed killer.
Okay.
There are lots of different kinds. Lawn weed killer will give it some knockback and may need to be replaced or repeated a couple of times, but will give results.
Alrighty. Honeysuckle. I have a honeysuckle that grows okay. It flowers, etc. Bar its leaves turning yellow and falling off. I read it could be a deficiency and have added food, etc. But it's still the same. I also potted it into a larger pot with good drainage, etc. But it appears determined to wilt. Driving me mental. Any suggestions, says Rachel.
Honeysuckle is not happy in a pot. Get it out into the open ground and it'll change its tune.
Right. So it doesn't like to be confined.
Yeah, the roots are obviously going dry, not happy, losing its leaves, okay. Not happy in a pot.
Set it free.
What?
Set it free.
Set it free, yeah. Let its roots
it has
free.
Hippie vibes, clearly. Yeah, it wants
yeah,
to.
Yeah, it doesn't want to be in a pot.
No.
A lot of climbers don't.
Okay. I should be taking notes here. I just bought a pear tree. It cost €50. What? €50 for a pear tree. It's already wilted and dying. Can it be brought back to life? Walter wants to know.
Yeah, I'd say what's happening there is, even though it's come out, a pear tree would come out of a pot at this time of year, and most of the pear trees sold would come out of pots. The thing is that it's still in the pot shape. Even though the pot was taken away and was planted, it's still as though it were in the pot. He may be watering all around the place, maybe water flying everywhere, but it's not getting into the root ball. So he needs to trickle it down just at the stem to wet the root ball, and then it will root out from there.
Okay.
So it's a water problem.
Okay. Very quickly, I have a 20-year-old oak tree that I moved last year. There's no leaves on it now. Is it dead? And can I revive it?
Dead.
That's all we have time for. Good man, Jerry. Always to the point, which is what we like. As I said, Jerry will be back with us at the same time next week. I'll be back with you tomorrow with my hair freshly done. I'm off to the hairdressers, Jerry.
Well done.
Yeah, can't wait. Mary Wilson is on the way with Drive Time. Have a lovely evening, folks.